are you concerned about protecting that brand new pretty sled that you just got? Here's the solution. Use SledSyn24 for a 15% off discount code on some Backwoods bumpers, the industry leader in performance protection. SledSyn listeners, welcome back to the next episode. Appreciate you guys tuning in regardless of what platform you are on. We're back at Heydays, so disregard some of the background noise. And as always, we've got a ton of companies supporting us this season with a bunch of discounts. So those are all in the description. A lot of them are in line with you, Polaris nice. And Climb and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, so be sure to check that out. And yeah, let's just jump right into this. So we've got Kobe, one of our team riders, back on for this episode, and super special guest, we've got Matt Entz on this episode with us.
Yeah, thanks guys, it's awesome to be here with you.
We feel the same, Matt.
Super cool to have you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. So Matt, let's what should we start with? All the way from the very beginning.
I'd say just tell the people who you are. Give a little background, where you're from.
Okay, you bet.
A little introduction.
What do you do?
Yeah, Matt Entz. I live in South Fork, Colorado. My family and I have a snowmobiling business, Mountain Skills, where the primary thing we do is work on instructional riding with people, no matter what level, but it's all mountain off-trail riding and avalanche safety courses. That's a
really big thing.
That's a cool
one.
That
was kind of one of the main things when we started that we wanted to make sure we focus on. As things have grown and progressed over the years, we've got lodging where most of our customers will come and stay with us. And my wife and daughters take care of the meals for them and the entertainment as well.
Man, that's
killer. You can imagine nine and 11-year-old
girls. Yeah.
One of them has like a joke routine.
Ashley
likes to tell jokes.
Oh, so there you go.
It's pretty funny.
Like, it works out perfect.
Like, repeat customers, like the next year they come back. She's got red hair, so naturally we've always called her Red.
Okay.
And so that's what everybody knows her as. And they're like, hey, Red. Got a new joke for you. She just
got
she
a new
lights
joke.
Up, and, yeah. and you know if it's good enough, then it goes into her routine.
It
there
goes
you go.
Into the routine.
I so, love that.
She's so the critic.
Yeah. So the lodging part has been really cool aspect to our business, and then we've also got a retail store, online store.
What's that retail store?
Mountain Skills.
Nice.
Mountain Skills. Online.
What are you guys selling on that store?
Lots and lots of climb gear, and then some parts accessories.
Sweet.
Try to have what people need, a lot of avalanche safety related items, things like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
What are you doing in the summertime when you're not running the clinics through the winter?
Yeah, great question. Unfortunately, I'm not just on vacation.
Okay.
So we've been operating a guided side-by-side business for, I think this is the eighth summer with that, that we've had that. A lot of the same areas that we snowmobile.
Yeah.
We've just got awesome mountains around, and it's really cool. And last winter, we brought in Justin Cowett to help me every day on the snow. And he's pretty well taken over the tours part of that. So he's taking people out in the summer. And while he's doing that, I've got an excavation business as well. So I'm playing in
Man, you've got
playing
your
in the dirt.
Yeah, hands and all kinds of hot.
I wouldn't know how to do it any other way.
Yeah,
that's good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, like to work and get on the dirt bike whenever we can.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is not enough.
But, yeah, never is.
Yeah.
Are you an avid hunter too, or?
I would like to be, but I just really haven't made the time to do that yet.
Okay.
Tenfold.
So, gotcha. Hopefully, one of these days.
Yeah. Gotcha. Let's go a little bit of history. So how were you first ever exposed into this crazy thing we call snowmobiling? How'd you get exposed to it?
From my family, from day one, back in the late 60s and early 70s, my grandpa and his brother-in-law had a snowmobile dealership in our area. Mm. So as a kid, we always had snowmobiles around. We're talking snowmobiles from the 70s, like bogey wheel rear suspension, steel skis, leaf springs for the skis for suspension.
Right.
And
good
it didn't
stuff.
Matter. We'd ride them around in the fields and just always loved it. As I got older, my dad would take me to the mountains every now and then. And once I was able to afford my own snowmobile, go get a loan for one. I bought one, and that's all I wanted to do since then is ride snowmobiles. So everything in my life revolved around figuring out a way to ride snowmobiles as much as possible. And got to a point where, like, I've always been a competitive person where I want to do the best that I can and, you know, try to be better than the guys that I'm riding with or whatever that looked like, and just really enjoyed it. And a major influence from, like, the old Slednecks videos. That's where a lot of it started, in that genre, that kind of stuff. And then got an opportunity to ride with Dan Gardner and Fatty, some of the guys from Boondockers, mostly to show them an area, but that translated to being invited out to ride with them.
Yeah.
And kind of went from there, and then made lots of cool connections and relationships in the snowmobile industry that really started from that.
Okay.
And here we are.
Yeah, sure. So at what point, what was the influence behind the idea of, like, oh, I want to start Mountain Skills? Like, how was that birthed?
Well, at the time, I was working for a potato farm, which was awesome. Had been doing that for a long time. Really enjoyed that, and we worked our butts off like 9 months of the year, and then in the winter got some vacation and got to ride a lot. And it just kind of turned into, most of the time riding, I was helping people, and I was like, gosh, it would be really cool to just ride snowmobiles with people and you know, help them out with stuff here and there. Was familiar with what Chris Berant was doing at that time, and Dan Adams, what they were doing, and I wanted to be unique, wanted to do something a little bit different, but I didn't really know what that was. And then actually what flipped the switch or turned the light bulb on, whatever that you want to call that, was involved in an avalanche out in Utah. And it sent me down a path of pursuing more education for myself, but also wanting to, I didn't know I was going to be an educator at that time, but I just wanted to spread awareness to people of, man, stuff can happen, and make sure you're with the right people.
Yeah.
I was with a good crew of people that saved my life that day.
Yeah.
And that just, a lot of that light bulb went off, and that's when it's like, okay, let's go forward with our business. We want to take people riding. We want to help them on an instructional level and have a lot of fun, but we need to focus on the safety side of things as well.
Yeah, sure.
So that's kind of what pushed it. The next year we started our business, and the goal at that time was, you know, maybe we'll do well enough that it'll help cover some of our expenses to ride snowmobiles.
Sure, yeah.
And now, it's, you know, the business is putting food on the table for our family.
There you
so
go. This
crazy
is
how it's all worked out.
Into what number season is this? How long have
this
you been going?
This is, so that was in, we started things out in like the fall of 2012.
Okay.
So we're on like year 12.
Okay.
Into year 12.
Dang.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can you speak a little bit on like the future of that? Like what's kind of your ideas, or
man,
which direction are you headed? Or
yeah, that's a great question. It's crazy. This things evolve and grow and build. Like it still feels like it's in the early stages. Mm-hmm. Like looking back, it's like, man, that's been quite a while
yeah,
for something
sure.
to be sustained and just continues to grow every year. And a lot of that's due to just having great people around us.
Yeah.
And customers are the biggest thing that drive that. As far as moving forward, I'd say my goal, what I'm seeing right now, is kind of continue growing what our retail and online store and that, but just maintaining with our lodge and staying busy. I wish winter was 12 months because I could spend
every
day all year on the snow with people.
Yeah.
I love doing that. So we just keep that going.
Sure. Sure. Can you talk a little bit about like the accommodations of the lodge? Like what's your setup look like?
Yeah. So it's full service. It's a nice modern house. It's like a big 6-bedroom house. So got fully set up for people. They're not roughing it by any stretch. We've got a combination of like single bedrooms, and then some rooms will have a couple of beds in them. So there's some variety on that, which offers kind of variety in price point.
Mm-hmm.
people eat a lot, so groceries cost a lot of money.
Yes, they do.
So,
yeah, sure.
But it's cool.
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to take a quick second to introduce another one of this year's sponsors. We have RSI. So the handlebar setup on your sled is arguably probably one of the most important components on your whole setup. So definitely check out their site. They've got a ton of different products. And use SledZen24 at checkout for a discount.
What I didn't understand with that is how much I would enjoy the time hanging out with everybody off of the snow. Yeah. When we're on the
hearing
snow,
the
like that's
and
fun
stuff.
And that, yeah. But when we get off the snow, we get to talk about stuff aside from snowmobiling. We still talk a lot about snowmobiling while we're in there also, but you learn more about them and their family, and it's just like heightened the relationships that we have with our customers. And so many of them, you know, they're more than clients, they're friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Which direction do you want to go with this from here?
You haven't
said much.
You can direct it. I'll bounce questions off of it.
Yeah. Well, so I have like a variety of topics to go through. So a couple things I do, you know, with like the progression of your business and stuff, I just want to mention that I've heard from multiple people, Dustin, Pancari, and Smasher, and a couple of people, how awesome and amazing you and your family unit is. I just want to bring it up because that thread has, I've heard that several times. And so you kind of, you know, spoke a little bit about your wife, but you know, how much of your whole entire business is that the importance of that support system? Because it sounds like your kids are really involved in it as well. And touch on that too, because as I'm sure you're aware, you know, there's a lot of snowmobile riders out there that have a significant partner that maybe don't like the snowmobiling or aren't into it, or you know, have a negative, you know, because it's expensive and all that kind of stuff. So if you don't mind, like, kind of touch on the impact that's had, and just because I've heard so much of that about you.
Definitely. And that's, I mean, to each their own. Like, everybody does things their own way, and that's one thing that once we decided to go this route, from the very beginning my wife was always extremely supportive. Like, she's the one that I kind of would joke, and I'm like, what do you think about this mountain skills with Matt Hintz? and you know, kind of just expecting a little bit of a chuckle type of thing, and she's like, yeah, you need to do it,
yeah,
like, go for it. Mm-hmm. So she's always been 100% supportive behind me. I think one of the things that causes a lot of conflict, you see people and maybe their significant other thinks they're doing, like, I don't know, it's a weird dynamic. They think they're doing it to get away, or they don't understand like the joy and happiness, whatever it is that a person gets that from, they should pursue it. And so she has always seen what this stuff means to me and encouraged me to go for it and been behind it, but also like right there by my side at going to snow shows. She's come to Hades with me most years, and once we had kids, it's like, well, they're going with us.
Yep. One
of our daughters was born right around the snow show, and she was at the snow show when she was like a week old. that's our life.
Yeah.
And you're like, we gotta go. We're going no matter
it's
what.
Not us changing our life just for them, but like adapting so they're with us. And actually, this is the first year my daughters are here with me at Heydays, and it's been awesome. But so they've always been involved, and It makes it a lot easier for me, because all of this stuff is all a big commitment.
Yeah.
And to be able to spend that time together with them, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's hard when you're on the road and you're away from them. That can be really tough. So when we do get to be together, and they're a huge part of what our full operation is.
Yeah.
It's the way it is. It's the way we want it to be, and you know, life, everything is chapters, and we're writing our own as we go. There's not following anything, just doing it our way.
Love that. Thank you for sharing.
Does your family like riding?
Yeah, they do. Unfortunately, with things busy, they don't get to ride near as much as they would like to.
Sure.
I'm telling you, when we get those family days, it's not the, you know, the gnarliest thing, but watching them and just being out there with them puts a whole different kind of smile on the face and like satisfaction.
Yeah.
I like to just follow them around.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's pretty neat. Speak a little bit about like your clientele with Mountain Skills. So like, what's like the demographic of the people that are coming to learn and work with you?
A big variety.
Yeah. Okay. From all over the country.
Yeah. All over the country. We've had people come in from Europe and a fair amount of clients from Canada, and it's people that everything. I mean, we have some people that this is their first time on a snowmobile. Mm-hmm. Try to make sure they understand what they're getting into.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to try to understand. This is what we're going to be teaching you.
Yeah.
It's not. We're not going to go sightseeing or it's not a trail ride. Like, it's involved. You're going to learn how to ride this snowmobile. We've got some return clients that are badass.
Like, yeah.
High level riders that we've worked with year after year after year, and it's really fun. They're still, initially they came to us to learn, and now they continue to come out, like, because they want to continue to be pushed. So mm-hmm. when we get the chance to push their personal comfort and level, that's really fun. And just everything in between, the avalanche courses are a completely separate thing there. And then something that's been really fun to be a part of and really cool how it's grown over the years is we work with a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
We do multiple ladies clinics a year. And the last couple of years we've gotten to where we're doing advanced ladies clinics.
Nice.
And these women
rip.
Ride. It's a pretty interesting environment, that advanced ladies clinic.
Yeah.
They might not consider it fun for part of the time. It's intense.
Yeah.
Like, we're out there to really push them. And because we believe in them, that's the biggest thing. It's because we see what they're capable of, and we know how far we can push people. It's pretty cool to see that aspect as well.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So switching a little bit, I want to speak because... before Christmas, we went to Climb and did a tour with Dustin and did some podcasts with him stuff. And then we had Dan Adams on yesterday. So I want to touch on your involvement with Avalanche Alliance and then kind of dissect, obviously that stuff is super important to you.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the overall mission of Avalanche Alliance and what your direct involvement is with that.
It goes back to that sharing awareness, spreading awareness, helping people understand the importance of education if you're going to ride in the mountains, because there's a lot of real dangers out there, and with some information you can just set yourself up for success. And it's been an honor to travel with those guys and really kind of sharing some of our personal experiences and stories, because that's what got Dan and I into what we're doing. And Dustin has been motivated by experiences as well.
Mm-hmm.
And has done a lot. So we've always had a good dynamic with us together. So it works well. And we've kind of been able to put that together how we want, in the name of encouraging people to get on snow training.
Yeah.
We travel isn't do a presentation, maybe give them some new information, something mm-hmm. like that. But I mean, realistically, you can't teach a class in a couple of hours.
Yeah, right.
You can share some information, which is great. And we always would encourage people to do that.
That's a good starting point. Yeah.
But the main goal, go out and get the on snow training. Don't care if it's with me, with Dan. There's lots of great providers, and we really try to promote everybody with that. And I think that's kind of unique.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people out there that go promote other people.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's been pretty cool. And then the other aspect with the Avalanche Alliance is all of the fundraising. Like, it's mind-boggling how much money the snowmobiling community has put in and raised over the last few years that goes back into the snowmobiling community, helping people get scholarships to attend avalanche courses or the professional level courses, the forecasting, things like that. So it's really cool what that has turned into and what it is.
Yeah. So you, about how many, because the three of you traveled around quite a bit to a lot of different dealers and stuff. About how many did you go through?
Gosh, the last few years, I don't know. We've been on the road a lot, and probably.
Are you doing more this 12 year?
12 to 15 of those per year. Maybe even, it might have been even close to 20 one year. Okay. We're a smaller scale this year.
Okay.
We have some ideas, some stuff that we want to incorporate to continue building the program. It's one of those, we're all pretty driven people and have high expectations for stuff. And the same thing with what we're doing with that presentation. We want to continue to evolve it and make it better and use that as an avenue to keep people engaged and involved.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love what you guys are doing with that. I have a question. And I asked Dan this yesterday too, and I'm anticipating you to have a pretty similar reaction. But I just get this a lot. You know, we've got some eyes and some attention and, you know, talked to quite a few people through this podcast and stuff. And this comes up more often than I would like it to. And so I want your reaction to speak to the topic of, you know, you've got a lot of people that'll go spend $20,000 on a brand new sled, you know, $2,000, $2,500, whatever, for head to toe climb gear, whatever it is. And then hold back on an Avi bag, a beacon, a probe, and, you know, a shovel, those important things that potentially could save your life or somebody else's. And it just, I was telling Dan this, it was like, it's such a weird disconnect for me. Like, I don't understand how you, like, things are relative, whatever, but I don't understand that thought process, like, how you disconnect that. Like, you're going to go choose to buy all this and then hold back on something like this that has such a high value of importance. What's your reaction to that thought?
My personal, like, feeling on it is I want to just, like, come on.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? But honestly, from being around so many people, you don't know what you don't know. Yeah. A lot of people know any different.
Yep.
I didn't. And unfortunately, it's a sad thing, but so many people in our industry, they're not pursuing it or don't really take it serious until there's a close call or a tragedy. And that sucks.
Yeah.
That's how it is, and that's part of us trying to get out ahead of that with the Avalanche Alliance, and other people are doing things as well, trying to get ahead of that curve. But last year there was a fatality down in our area, a place that 90% of the people that ride there don't have Avi gear because they say, well, it doesn't
avalanche. Never slides here.
Knowing different, like, well, it can, it's like certain conditions, but last year there was a weird wind event, and that one of the local guys' hill that he rides every time he goes out there slid on him that day. Nobody had the gear. We found his body a couple days later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that smacked that community upside the head that they do need stuff. It can happen. You know, maybe it's less likely, but
it sucks. It takes that level of fear to.
It does.
Yeah.
And
it's
really sad. It's like that was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Being involved in that whole process.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's countless stories.
I was gonna say, it still happens every year.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I don't know what it is about us. That's how we're wired, that we need something that, like, really pushes us to pursue that. So that went off a little bit off to the
side
there.
No, you're good.
Not knowing.
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know. It's even same thing with our courses. When people take the course, because a level one is a commitment. Ours, it's 3 days, and it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work as well. But when they're done, most people, they say, I'm embarrassed that I waited so long to take this course. I should have done this years ago.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Didn't realize that they didn't know so much necessarily.
They didn't realize how much information they were going to get, or even like how enjoyable, like it's fun.
Yeah.
The courses are fun. We're snowmobiling a lot. We're putting the stuff to use while we're riding to try to make it relevant. So when they leave, it's not just that was cool. You know, we want it to be like where they continue to stay engaged with it
from
then on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Changing the topic again, I think this might be a really, really good opportunity for you to get an answer. So I snow checked a 155 Chaos Boost and a 146 9R.
Sweet.
But on my 155, I chose to go with the 275 instead of the 325. And my reasoning for that was because, you know, we're in Eastern Oregon.
Okay.
And so the amount of days that we have, like, super, super deep epic is not very common.
Yeah.
And I have a 21 Axis 850 that I've got that same track on, and I really like it, and it works for me. But Kobe went with the same sled, but a 325, And so he was a little bit hesitant and kind of, you know, you can ask questions and you see different things on the internet and whatnot, and you're probably one of the best to ask this direct question to. So he was kind of concerned. I'll just let you take it, Kobe, about the 50 mile an hour.
Yeah, we were just, just a general concern, something that immediately pops up. And like, I know, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, if you don't ride the mountain, you don't need it. And it's like, okay, well, I understand that. But unfortunately, to get to mountain, there's a trail to get there, you know, a lot of times. Yes, there's some mountains, you know, that we're out talking to these guys, you know, a lot of Wyoming. Sounds like there's places where you can just unload 5 minutes and you're on the mountain. But where we're from, I mean, we've got to drive. Yeah.
We have
to drive a solid hour at least to get there. And then from there, we got to ride another, I mean, at least 20 minutes usually to get into some good riding. So I'm like, that's even like the short rides. There's some rides where I've got 40 miles before I like get to the good riding. Now that's a planned trip.
Right.
But I'm saying at the end of those 40 miles, it's killer riding. It's deep. It's huge. It's, you know, it's all that powder hound stuff. So I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't want to kick myself in the butt for ordering the 325 since I do still ride trail or whatever.
Fast.
So my question then is like,
hey, what's up, guys? It's Tyler with Sled Send. Wanted to take a second of your guys' time and ask for your guys' support for what we're doing with the brand of Sled Send. So if you guys are enjoying, you know, the podcast episodes with all the different guests, the tour videos and such, check out sledsend.com. We have a variety of different merch. Every order comes with air fresheners and stickers. And like I said, we appreciate your guys' support. We need it to continue to do this. And without further ado, let's get into the video.
What matters to you the most? Where do you want the best performance from your snowmobile?
Yeah.
You want it in that deep snow and that stuff? Dude, that track is going to be awesome. I was blown away. I got to run it on a 155 Chaos Boost, and we got lucky and had some really good snow and storms, and I enough that I ordered multiple sleds with that track.
Nice.
What I would say, like, it's not that it can't go down the trail, but it's not something you'd want to ride on the trail, you know, as a trail sled. But mountain sleds aren't that fun.
I guess so. Like, what is it? I guess even more or less too, because I did read a little bit, and I think Polaris actually ended up commenting back on one of our. I don't know. I had Polaris comment back on something online, and they kind of explained to me. They're like, "Oh, it's 55 mile an hour, I think, or something." Then a red warning comes up, or what?
Yeah, there's a warning when a sustained speed over a certain amount of time, and it's basically to keep the track, because in those conditions, it's going to create heat, and heat is the biggest enemy of a track other than like sharp objects.
Yeah.
So you just don't want to get that thing hot where stuff starts coming apart.
Okay. So it's for like a prolonged period.
Yeah.
So like, what if I was like something, you know, you're messing around out in the prairie and all of a sudden, you know, Tyler comes up next to me or something and he ramp, ramp, you know, and he spins me and hits me with snow clods and I want to take off after him, you know, through the meadow or something and beat him to the other side.
Well, a part of that as well, and again, it's more of,
you know, playing around. Is that
it's
still
more of a thing for people to be mindful of.
Okay.
It's not like your snowmobile is going to shut off and stop, or you can't ride it there.
See,
like,
that's
it's
been
not,
so. That's
not
what I was wondering.
Like,
yeah,
it's a way for you to be mindful, not run it sustained.
Like, hey, yeah, it's hot. Yeah. Don't do that.
And when you're on the trail, the new scratchers are awesome. So keep them down. Make sure things are cooling.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to run. We run scratchers.
But I wouldn't want to take a sled with that track and, like, go hammer a bunch of hard-packed snow all day long because, well, for one, it wouldn't be fun anyways with that setup, but, yeah.
Well, I've got, like I said, that's not my one. I have two setups, so I'm able to run. I still have a 275, so I was thinking that would be a deep powder, you know, super sweet setup, and I don't think I'm going to regret it. I'm like, how could I regret it?
Yeah, like I said, if you are looking for the, you know, want the best performance in that deep snow, that thing's going to work great for you.
Yeah.
275 is an awesome all-around track. So.
Yep.
It's hard because we have such good options.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of those choices are really hard, and hear that all the time. Well, what track should I get? Well, what track length? Well, Pro or Chaos? All these different things we have. We're so spoiled.
It's so
we have
funny.
Such good options. Yeah. That we get to choose from.
It used to be like, man, do I get the clicker shocks or do I get the standard shocks? You know, what color? Do I get red or do I get black and orange? And now it's like...
there's so many options. So what's... Do you rock like a main like play sled and then a main guiding sled? You have two separate or what's like
your go-tos?
I'm riding something different all the time. I always joke that my favorite snowmobile is whatever the last one I just got off of.
Okay.
Because I'm like, this thing is so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm kind of switching it up a lot of the times depending on who the people that I'm working with are. What's the appropriate sled for this group of people that I'm working with? But I would say if I had to choose one snowmobile for every single day, every single condition, everything, I would choose a 9R Chaos 165 with a 275. Because, again, all around, every condition, every day, that's what I would go with.
Yeah.
That's
your
the
deep
weapon.
Days are still going to be good. You're going to have a lot of power.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's riding with lots of different people and all different conditions. If I got to be selfish and was just riding selfishly my favorite terrain every day, then I would do a 165 Chaos Boost.
So you're a 165 guy.
I do. I like the longer track. We have a lot of variety of elevation and terrain where we're at. I like the Chaos for the playfulness.
Sure.
It's actually kind of a... like the big debate now is like 165 Chaos or 155 Pro, which of those? Because I still ride both, ride them all the time, but that's still the preference right now.
Yeah, I've heard that talked about. Well, didn't your dad kind of feel
that's what, that way? Well, there's like all kinds of different, and it's crazy that there's this much like feedback. Like the all riders feel it, like how much difference there is between those two chassis.
Yeah.
I had a 800 155 Pro turboed, and I remember having that, and it was always like, it would come up, you know what I mean? But it was always like, man, I remembered it would just blow all the 163s out of the water, you know, the naturally aspirated 163s as a 155. And then going to the Chaos now. Now the 155 Chaos, it's hard to even keep this thing. You know, you can't hill climb with them because they're backflipping.
You want a wild ride? Get on a 155 Chaos Boost.
That's what we got.
That's what we ordered.
So much fun in a little less gnarly terrain.
Yeah.
That's what we got. And then I'm like, I'm just hoping that I'm not going to kick myself when it's 4 feet deep and we're trying to make it up the hills, and I'm over here just to. Paddling.
We're so lucky with the options that we have, we get to choose from. They're crazy. All awesome. And there are so many factors. Again, where do you want the biggest advantage or the most fun?
Yeah.
That should be what people use to choose. Shouldn't be because I like setup X or you like
use the tool that's best for the job.
Yep. And what you really want the best, where you want it to work the best.
Right, for sure. Well, so Matt, I want to respect your time. I told you we kind of keep them shorter. I mean, we could keep you here for the next 3 hours, but I want to respect your time. Kobe, do you have any last parting questions that you want to ask Matt?
I don't think so. That was pretty good episode.
Okay. Well, Matt, I want to extend a large amount of gratitude. I've heard a ton about you, and it's just been awesome to finally get to meet you. And I'm super grateful that you took the time to jump on the show. So I appreciate it a ton. But what we, something special, two things, at the end of every single episode, we have our guest ask the listeners and viewers a specific question that you would like some answers on or some feedback. And so it can be avalanche stuff. It could be stuff on the new sleds coming out. It can be clinic stuff. It can be whatever comes to mind. So putting you on the spot, something that you would like to ask the listeners and viewers, and we cut the clip and use it for reels and TikTok and stuff like that.
But. Okay. Awesome. Ah, man, that is a tough one. There's many things come to mind. I want to know this. Maybe this is a little different, but I want to know what you guys are going to do to help preserve our riding. Like, what are you going to do to assure that we get to keep riding, we get to keep having badass events like Hay Days, podcasts like this, where we get to talk about this we don't have places to ride, then we don't have any opportunities. So that's what I want to know. There's lots of ways to get one. Involved.
That's
so.
A really good one. I don't think that one's ever been asked.
I don't think it's been a question. Not that I could
I bring that up. I just had a really good conversation with a couple from Wisconsin. They were looking at some of the climb insulated gear, and I was like, I can't really answer that many questions about it, but I'd like to talk to you about, because they wear it, and they're, you know, they're trail riders, and that, and it led to these different topics that we talked about. And the big one, they're really worried about their access to land, because so much of it's private land, and needing people to respect that, and even just getting the permission. Like, man, you don't realize what a big deal that is, you know, if half the trails in Wisconsin got closed, you know, something like that, just as an example. So that,
we just had a girl on here, and she's from Maine over there on
Massachusetts
on the east side, and that's what she was saying. She says all of our riding is private, it's landowner.
See, we're,
and I'm like, what?
Completely different. We're, everything is public, it's all I national know. Forest. Like, we have certain restrictions and
about
stuff
no-go
like that,
zones
that,
and stuff,
yeah, and wilderness and that, and
it's just
we're
weird.
Involved there, but you don't realize on the big scheme, like other places, just what a sensitive subject it really is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, when you can get some big different environmentalist groups entered, and
there's a lot of factors.
Yeah,
so
it's not good.
Why don't we just flip that on you, and why don't you answer that question?
Okay.
Some of the things that maybe you're working on or involved in.
Yep, you bet. So we're always involved with our state snowmobile association. As well as, and it's different in every state, but clubs, I know clubs are a huge deal out here. It's really awesome how involved people are with their clubs. In the West, it's a little different. Unfortunately, there's not the involvement with clubs that there is in the Midwest or like the Northeast, places like that. But we support, and we're a member of like 7 or 8 different clubs throughout Colorado, and we try to help them with fundraising events, and we donate different packages for the clubs as well as for the state association, stuff to raise money. They call it, in Colorado, it's the Right to Ride Foundation.
Okay.
That, and then like Blue Ribbon Coalition, and there's lots of organizations out there. I'm probably not as good at this as I should be, but I try to submit a letter or be involved with that process when things come up, and then try to stay extremely involved locally, attend meetings even throughout the state, try to have a voice and use it. So
sure.
Those are,
heck yeah.
Those are things that
good.
That we've been involved with.
Good. Love it. Yeah, please let us know. That's a really, really good question. We want to know your guys' answers and thoughts in the comments below. Well, Matt, let's wrap this episode up. We have 2 more asks from you. We'll get a photo for the thumbnail, but the second one is if you would do the honors to sign our banner for us anywhere you want. That would mean a ton to us. So, Sledson listeners, thank you guys for tuning in on this episode. And, of course, Matt, thank you for being here. Appreciate it a ton.
Yeah, appreciate you guys doing this a ton, the chance to get to chat with you. So,
heck,
I guess the next thing, hopefully do it again one of these days. But
absolutely.
Get on the snow together. Yeah. That'd be the ultimate goal.
Yes. Ride for
fun.
The day and then do a podcast that night or something.
That would be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've never been to Colorado.
Nope. Sounds like you had some cool things going on out your way, too. Got it all figured out.
Awesome. Yeah, cool. Well, thanks again, Matt. We appreciate it. And Sledson listeners, we will catch you guys on the next one.